is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New York City Mayor Eric Adams indicted by a federal grand jury for unknown criminal charges. Here's ABC Senior Investigative Correspondent Aaron Katursky.
We know that he has been under investigation for almost a year, a third of his tenure in office. This started as campaign finance, but the investigation has expanded in recent months and has included some top members of the administration.
The indictment against Adams is expected to be unsealed later this morning. Florida's Gulf Coast and Panhandle bracing for what's expected to be a major hurricane. Helene forecast to make landfall. Later this evening is a Category 4 storm. Widespread flooding is expected up through Georgia throughout the night and tomorrow. The U.S. and its allies calling for a 21-day ceasefire in fighting between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon. Overnight, an Israeli airstrike in Lebanon hit a building housing Syrian workers, killing 23. Kamala Harris to visit the U.S.-Mexico border in Arizona tomorrow. This is ABC News. A federal judge giving the okay to a class action settlement over the toxic train crash in East Palestine, Ohio. The $600 million being paid by Norfolk Southern Railroad includes money for families and businesses within a 20-mile radius of the crash site. One more game for the A's in Oakland, with a team set to hit the road for good after this afternoon.
For the first time in 57 years after today, the Oakland Coliseum won't have a baseball team. For fans who grew up watching the A's in Oakland, like this reporter, it's a sad day. For concession workers, they're saying goodbye to their jobs.
We all are going to miss this place.
Brian Johansson will be at today's game.
If I start talking about it, I'll start crying.
Next season, the A's will play in Sacramento while waiting for a new stadium in Las Vegas. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Going up for auction tomorrow, the ball Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani hit for his 50th home run this year, opening bid $500,000. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An arrest this week in a long unsolved murder investigation in the La Crosse area. Jimmy Cuska reports.
Officials said 60-year-old Michael Pop of Toma is being held on a $1 million bail as the lone suspect in the 1985 death of Terry Dalloway. According to court documents, a DNA sample taken last year from Pop matches a sample that was collected during the 1985 autopsy. Dalloway was a 24-year-old UW La Crosse student who was found dead in Vernon County 4 days after going missing in 1985. I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A recent school shooting in Georgia appears to be inspiring a rash of school threats. The Attorney General's office says more than 130 school threats have been reported in 28 Wisconsin school districts in just 2 weeks. The state runs a Speak Up, Speak Out tip line where anyone can report an anonymous tip about a concerning comment or post. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers get ready for the border battle. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay plays Minnesota this week, and the big question is, will Jordan Love play? Love says he's feeling better each time out.
At the end of the day, it's all feel things. Feeling my body, feeling if I'm pushing too much, and my body's kind of just listening to my body, talking to me. And, you know, the workout pregame Sunday, I felt like I was moving around pretty well, and my body was responding well to it.
Coach Matt LaFleur says they are taking it one day at a time. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Milwaukee Brewers are officially officially the third seed in the National League. The Brewers' 2-1 loss to Pittsburgh last night and wins by both Los Angeles and Philadelphia means the Brewers will play in next week's wild card round. Freddy Peralta became the fourth Brewers pitcher to record 200 strikeouts in multiple seasons. The Brewers finish up with the Pirates today before taking on the Mets in a potential playoff preview this weekend. And the Milwaukee Bucks are making a, quote, major ownership announcement this morning. Bucks co-owner Jimmy Haslam will be speaking. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be sunny and warm again today. Our high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind southwest at around 5 to 10. Tonight clear, a little fog by morning into the low 50s. Tomorrow sunshine with a high near 80. It's going to continue through the weekend too with sunshine. Low 80s Saturday and Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 53.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll talk more about the American Stability Act, the transformational legislation that will protect and raise up the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Thursday morning, September 26th, 40 days until Election Day. And it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, or through our social media video feeds. Thanks for starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Wasn't life in Wausau easier, smoother, more tranquil when Katie Rosenberg was mayor? Which leads to this question. Do you think more folks understand that local elections matter and that you shouldn't skip out on them? Wausau is now in the national news and a bit of a, I'm not going to say a national laughingstock, but there's a lot of people pointing at Wausau and saying, don't do that. You know, don't have your mayor get all dressed up in a shirt and tie and a hard hat and fluorescent gloves to illegally move an absentee ballot drop box unilaterally after the city attorney told you not to. We'll talk more about that coming up. It's become a big story, emblematic of conservative efforts to undermine confidence in our elections. Also coming up, of course, we'll talk to Joe Zepecki about some of the week's political happenings and also maybe the lack of happenings in the case of Eric Hovde, who again gave another predictably vanilla response to a serious question about public safety. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the Brewers hurricane dilemma today. There's a massive storm that's forecast to slam into Florida and Georgia later today. And while the focus is rightly on public safety, of course, there is a sports footnote about all the uncertainty it brings to the Brewers' playoff plans. And in our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, we will visit with State Assembly candidate Allison Page from West Central Wisconsin in and around the Hudson area. And Greg Bach, standing by down here in Waukesha. And yeah. Luke Mathers returns from his whatever it was. Could have been a vacation. Could have been Betty Ford. I don't know. It could have been anything. But he's back to... We're just jealous that he got to leave the country long enough to take a break from election politics. So now that I've maligned his reputation with talking about rehab, but he, don't you remember he was singing that one song and I said, no, no, no. So I thought they were dragging him away, but turns out it was a nice vacation. So Luke will tell us all about that in a bit. Mr. Bach, resplendent in his, what is it? City Connect?
Yes.
Crew jersey.
Yep. My Lorenzo Kane.
Low Kane. Oh, my goodness. The people who have come and gone over the years. Anyway, how are things down there?
Things are good. Dark. Yeah, we're real dark, Pat. I couldn't tell you if I was inside, outside, dark. It's just dark right now. I can't even tell what the weather was going to be like. It's because it's real dark.
Thank you, meteorologist Greg Bach, with that detailed current conditions. It's dark up here too. So I'm not any better. I mean, I can look at my wristwatch and tell you it's 53 degrees, you know, in the Chippewa Valley, but that's the extent of it, mostly because this forecast is once again so quiet, dry, sunny, a little bit above average for temperatures. Apparently a real cool down is coming next week, right around Monday or so. But we're going to be doing some 80s again for the next few days. And that's going to make for a pretty nice weekend. But dry. We were sitting in Brazina's in Tilden, a little restaurant. Usually it's filled with you know folks from around Chippewa County. And as I looked around, I said, okay, we've got several days where it's going to be dry, sunny, nice. You will not find an active farmer in this place for the next several days, because they are going crazy getting the corn and the beans off. And good for them. I'm so glad they got this spell of weather to do it, because, I mean, any city person can tell you that there have been autumns where you're kind of looking out at the rain and everything and feeling bad, like, oh, somebody's field work is going to stretch way late. So I'm very happy for that part of it.
Yeah, I have been feeling bad for the farmers all season, because it's like, first, it's like, it's drought, then it's too much rain, then it's, oh, fields are ruined because of so much rain. Now more rain's needed. Now I've got some rain. Now it's oofers.
It's really dry. So hopefully.
And dark. It's still dark, Pat.
It is still. But it also leads to that scene. It's, again, the farmers and everybody are working so hard. But there's this kind of Norman Rockwell romantic view when you see these tractors and combines working well into the night, because they've got these big, powerful, you know, headlights when they do have to do nighttime field work. And it makes me very thankful for the folks that do that and to help keep us fed. We're very fortunate.
Pat, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that hard of work. Eric Hovde
says
they're just
riding around on a tractor all day. That's what Eric Hovde says.
Boo, lazy farmers. Am I right?
855-75-CIVIC is the number. 855-752-4842. You can also text us. You can text us through the app, and get ready to text us through the app. Two more days, today and tomorrow, part of the Go for the Green or Gold contest. Text in a keyword an hour from now, and you could be in the running for an hourly prize and also potentially tickets to see the Green and Gold play in Green Bay. In the Up North News Daily newsletter, and you can sign up for that at upnorthnewswi.com, we've got an article about fall recreation, and especially for folks in the disabled community and the many places where there are adaptive kayaks available in state parks around the state for folks to use. Also, a link to my article in there on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, about kind of a generic election story, meaning rather than picking on one election district in the legislature, at all of them, whatever legislative district you're in, what does a vote for a Republican incumbent or a Republican candidate, what does that mean for education in Wisconsin based on what Republicans have been doing and proposing in the legislature for the past several years? It's an important thing to keep in mind, because, again, every individual candidate is going to say this or that, but in the end, a lot of the folks tend to vote as a block, and so if Republicans were to control the legislature again next year, here's what it would mean if you were to cast a vote in your district. Now, if you want that breakdown by district, and Greg, I haven't talked to Dan Schaefer lately. I know you have. The man does exhaustive write-ups all, I believe, 115 legislative seats that are up. There's 99 in the Assembly and I think 16 in the Senate this year. And every one of them, he's written up every one of them to tell you about the race, who's running, and the nature of the district. And if you want that, go to the recombobulation area. Dan Schaefer, our new political director here at Civic Media, and read up on that. The man knows his stuff.
Yep, he'll be actually on tomorrow. He's on every Friday on Matt and Aaron Air at 11 o'clock now. He's going to be on at 11 o'clock. And we'll probably be talking more about his report. I mean, he's been posting them on his social media, on Twitter. Please go and subscribe to the Recombobulationary. One, it is award-winning reporting. And two, it's incredibly affordable. And we need to keep journalists like this man, working and reporting. And it's, I mean, he is our political director here at Civic Media, and I love that. But it's, I mean, his journalism is second to none.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and we've, as we've said many times here, good information is worth something. Yeah. If we've learned nothing from the first two decades of the internet, is that, yeah, it's cool that you can get all this stuff for free on the internet, but you also can get so much misinformation.
Yes.
And that, okay, you could be like, wow, I never have to pay for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel again because I can just look on the homepage. It's like, yeah, or at some point they're not raising the revenue from selling newspapers. And so why don't you be a subscriber to that or to the Recombobulation area or the New York Times, the Philadelphia Inquirer, whatever you think is a good and reputable source for news across the nation, and then one in Wisconsin and maybe one in your local hometown, whether it's the, Eau Claire Leader Telegram or whatever. You should be a subscriber, but it's all on the honor system. It's like, good information should be worth something to you.
Agreed.
Did you say agreed?
I said agreed.
I thought you said read. I'm like, yeah, read.
Read too. Is good. You can't spell agreed without read.
Yes. Let's talk about this hurricane scenario here really quick. First off, the news from last night is that the Pittsburgh Pirates beat the Brewers 2-1. And then that, coupled with victories by the Dodgers and Phillies, means that L.A. and Philly have clinched first-round buys in the playoffs. Details coming up in just a sec here. But first, back to the game. Freddy Peralta retired the first 9 batters he faced. He ran into trouble with 2 outs in the 5th, which also happened to come when he was 1 strikeout away from reaching 200 strikeouts for a 2nd straight season. And even he had acknowledged that he was focusing on that a little too hard. Well, manager Pat Murphy let Freddie go out for the top of the 6th, and as soon as he notched that 200th strikeout, Murphy was out there with the hook in no time. Going, okay, time to rest up for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So now, here's the playoff drama. The Brewers are now the 3 seed, meaning they will play the 6th seed. That's whichever team can grab the last wild card slot, and there is still a wide open race there. Now, the Padres have clinched the 4 seed, the top wildcard slot, but there are 3 teams fighting for those last 2 slots, the 5 and the 6, the Arizona Diamondbacks, the New York Mets, and the Atlanta Braves. 2 of them are going to get in. Somebody's not. But here's what's complicating things. The Mets and the Braves were supposed to play in Atlanta yesterday and today, but Major League Baseball postponed the games because Hurricane Helene is about to slam into Florida, and there still might be hurricane force winds by the time it gets to Atlanta, and all the rains ahead of the storm have led to the games to be canceled. So the Mets instead will come to Milwaukee for the regular season finale starting tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Then they have to fly back to Atlanta Monday for a true doubleheader, perhaps deciding which one gets the 6th seed to play the Brewers the next day, Tuesday, back in Milwaukee. And that is all assuming that Atlanta can play the games scheduled against the Royals on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we don't know. And the Brewers won't know who they're going to play for a while here.
I have a simple fix, Pat.
Yes.
Atlanta, the Mets, you're just out. See you next year. You're fine. Well, play your games. Play your games, but you're done with the playoffs because it's sorry, nature. Sorry.
The Brewers wrap up in Pittsburgh. First pitch is this morning at 11:35, 12:35 in Pittsburgh, before the Brewers come home for that final series of the regular season against the Mets. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Make a difference in your community today. Find the perfect volunteering opportunity for you at volunteerwisconsin.org or by getting in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center. There are so many ways to get involved and make an impact. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches, it's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first, the Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why, because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This, of course, is from the Broadway play Rent. I have to adjust one of the lyrics. Hang on here.
525,600 hours.
Okay, allow me to explain. Here's the most random. Here's the most random thing, but I have to share it. Despite, it's going to make me look so dumb. At some point, somewhere along the line, I don't remember where or when, but I was calculating days. And there's some good sites out there. One of them is called like dateandtime.com, but there's a bunch of them. And I was calculating dates for something. Can't remember what anymore. But at some point, I'm like, I put in my birth date. And as it was calculating, you know, you've been alive for this many days or this many months, whatever. I noticed, I was like, oh, wait, I'm coming up on a milestone here. So I put the milestone number in. I got the date back. And I put the date in my Google Calendar and forgot all about it. I have no idea if this was a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever it was. So as I'm looking at pulling up the calendar for today, the first thing it says up there is day 22,000. And I'm like, is that right? And I went back and called it up. I'm like, sure enough, today I've been alive for 22,000 days. This is day 22,000, which also happens to come out to 528,000 something something hours.
You've been alive for 22,000 days?
22,000 days, 60 years, 2 months, and so many days. Yep.
I thought that, no, I mean, this is not an old joke. I thought that was longer. Oh. Okay.
What's that line from Big Bang Theory? Would you like to do the math? Oh, I'd love to do the math. I will not subject you to the math. You'll have to check that out on your own. But, all the ways that we measure time. We've talked about the time in the baseball season here. Time is whatever you want to call it, but I just thought that was kind of fun to see this little milestone. And if nothing else, now I'm giving other people time to go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Because you know other folks today are going to be like, how many days have I been alive? Or how many days have I been married? Or whatever. Come to think of it, it was probably a marriage thing. I was probably looking for something cute to put on a card or something. And maybe I did. I don't know. Because I can't believe Sherry stuck around for however many thousands of days that's been at this point. It also comes out along with 528,000 hours. I don't know which one of these minutes it is, but it's somewhere around 31,680,000 minutes. I won't tell you how much. It's like 1.9 billion seconds. So. All right. One more personal aside. Things are a little slower here on the Kreitlo computer. Because hopefully you're not noticing it as well. But things had slowed down so much that I followed some advice and I uninstalled and then reinstalled Chrome, which is the browser I use, and cleared out my cache, C-A-C-H-E. Which means that the first time you go back to other websites, it's going to be a little bit slower going, who are you again? You know? Yeah. And you know how much fun that is when you're like, how do you not remember me? You know, I've got to go find my password again. I was just here. I don't look that different, but apparently I do. So I mentioned that in Wausau, the mayor, Doug Denny, the conservative mayor who unseated Katie Rosenberg earlier this year, took it upon himself to remove the ballot drop box from outside of City Hall. And, of course, staged it, did pictures of himself with the shirt and tie and the Department of Public Works jacket, hard hat, fluorescent gloves. He's got the drop box on a dolly, and he's wheeling it into the building. And so if you want all the full details, head over to upnorthnewswi.com, and you can read the story that I posted last night about that. And as I'm looking around for other updated information, I would also recommend to you the Wausau Pilot and Review. That's wausaupilotandreview.com, which notes, as my story does as well, that the city clerk has reported this both to the Wisconsin Elections Commission and the Marathon County District Attorney, because this is clearly a case of tampering with the election process. The mayor saying that, you know, as the top elected city official, you know, he said, I've made my feelings known that we do not need a drop box. So he took it upon himself because he said it wasn't secure enough, which is all to say this. Nobody cares. It's not your job. State law makes very clear that the city clerk, the municipal clerk in every municipality, is the elections official, not some politician, but the city clerk. And the city attorney had advised the mayor not to do this, knowing that he had inquired about it before. And the city council president, Lisa Rasmussen, put out a statement saying, I have voiced my concerns to the mayor about his conduct. I requested he return the drop box and issue a public apology to the clerk and the community, as his actions violate the public trust and likely also the law. It is possible it violates the city's ethics code, as there is a section that speaks to knowingly engaging in conduct that is illegal or beyond the scope of one's authority, which this clearly is. The mayor responded with a message something like Rasmussen had mischaracterized his actions and that if Rasmussen wants to be mayor, she should run herself. And that's exactly the thing that you would expect to hear from, you know, a Trump kind of politician who wants to be this leading authority figure. And if you want to be part of the process, well, then you're just going to have to run against me in an election. Again, no, that's not how that works. We don't go for the unilateral unitarian executive, not of a country and certainly not of a city. There are rules to follow. And Denny went on to say, well, you know, as I was knocking on doors, people were saying they don't want these drop boxes. Once again, that's not how this works. We don't draw up the rules for our elections or anything in the law based on what you hear knocking on doors. We have a process. You're actually part of the process now. You're the mayor. This could have come to you through some kind of matter through city council that could have been passed or not passed, vetoed. The veto could be overridden or not overridden. There are rules to follow. And I still firmly believe that there are plenty of conservatives, including conservatives who voted for this mayor, who will say, no, I might like your politics, but that particular thing, that's a thing you don't do. You don't tamper with an election in some way, shape, or form. We don't know what will come of this. If the district attorney in Marathon County is a Democrat, she may choose to investigate. She may choose to refer this to another county and ask them to help out. Maybe the State Department of Justice remains to be seen, as well as with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. But again, follow the process, trust the voters, and trust our clerks. Our clerks around Wisconsin are amazing. That's why we have such great elections, and they should.
Eagle 1490 AM. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Organic dairy operators are crying foul when it comes to all the changes being proposed to the federal milk marketing orders. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. That's because federal milk marketing orders today, and even with revisions being proposed, really don't address pricing of organic milk. Shauna Nelson's the executive vice president of membership with Organic Valley Dairy Cooperative out of Lafarge, Wisconsin.
Organic dairy products are really separate from what you're seeing on the conventional side. And so ultimately, supply and demand is really a factor there. And cooperatives like ours are the ones that are setting pay price with our farmers. You see farmers that are either having contracts directly with either brokers or buyers, and you also see cooperatives that are structured sort of like ours.
Shauna Nelson, Executive Vice President of Membership with Organic Valley. She says organic dairy as well as organic egg production have witnessed about a 5.5% increase in demand just within the past year. Markets and overnight electronic trade for a Thursday morning. Right now, a little mixed. Numbers are next.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
They believe in protecting the families and children in our farming communities. Kids love to be included in the daily farm activities, but accidents can happen quickly. Reduce the chance of injury by making sure your farm is a safe environment for adults and kids. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
At Wisconsin Farm Bureau, we know that every farm, big or small, faces unique challenges. That's why we offer solutions tailored to your needs, from policy advocacy to exclusive benefits that save you money. We're more than just an organization. We're a community preparing the next generation of farmers to lead Wisconsin. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, your partner in farming success.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture. Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Big drop in dairy yesterday. Barrel cheese dropped 11 and three quarters cents in a day to 242 and three quarters. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and a half to 17 and a half, while AA butter dropped 4 cents to 286 a pound. October class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning down 6, 23.39 a hundredweight. December corn's down a penny at 414. November soybeans are up a penny right now, 10.54, and December wheat down a penny at 588 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on what's happening as far as the markets on a Thursday morning. World Dairy Expo next week. If you're planning on being at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, look me up. I'll be broadcasting throughout the show. You can find details at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be sunny and warm again today. Our high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind southwest at around 5 to 10. Tonight clear, a little fog by morning into the low 50s. Tomorrow sunshine with a high near 80. It's going to continue through the weekend too with sunshine. Low 80s Saturday and Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 53.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about the things on which we agree. I know they exist. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot and Sports with Paul Noonan. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
All right, we're back now at 6:34 on this Thursday morning on Up North News Radio. Joseph Pecky with us. As always, Joe, good morning. Forgive me for starting on sports and even on a stupid note, but I can't resist. I got to talk to somebody about this. What the Pirates did releasing Rowdy Tellez with four plate appearances to go before he was going to get a contract bonus. I'm sure it's not the first time or anything, but I mean, if I can use a bad word this early in the morning, I mean, that sucks. It really does.
It's just terrible. Yeah. You know what? And it's a culture of a team that's not had a lot of success recently. Mm-hmm. That to me is what this is about. It's about culture. If you're trying to build a team that can compete and win and be in it year after year, it is little things on the balance sheet. Like, I mean, what were we? We weren't talking about $20 million here.
$200,000. Yeah. That is change on the nightstand for baseball owners.
Right. And so it's just, it's part of a culture that why would you want to go play there? Yeah. The message that sends to ball players is this is a owner and a franchise that cares about the nickels and dimes way more than it cares about the players. And in the landscape of competitive American professional sports, that's puts you at a disadvantage. So sorry, Pirates fans.
Yeah. Hey, look, I hear all the folks out there saying, well, if he hadn't slumped so badly during the season, you know, he would have got more plate appearances. And that part I get, but you can't get over cutting a guy with just a couple of days left in the season. The slump.
There's a week left. Not even like three days of the regular season left.
Yep. So that excuse just doesn't carry water. All right, let's get to the news of the day here. I was going to start with Trump coming to Prairie du Chien, but you know, let's come back to that since the Dropbox story up in Wausau has taken on some new developments since we spoke about it yesterday morning. That the case has now been reported to the Wisconsin Elections Commission and to the Marathon County District Attorney's Office, and so obviously I've ranted about this aplenty, but wanted to get your take on a mayor. We've talked about the Dodge County Sheriff. Now we're talking about a mayor on his own just saying, nope, I don't want this Dropbox here. I'm going to move it.
Yeah, this is, it's not just a pattern. This is what we need to expect for the next 6 weeks. We also talked about the press conference in the Capitol with a member of Congress on the Republican side, our dear friend Tom Tiffany, mm-hmm. talking about a constitutional amendment to ban something that is already illegal.
Right.
And what all of these things have in common is that they are all designed to further undermine confidence in our elections. And that's just, it's just malarkey, because I can't use bad words on the radio. We have had I should count this up and I will. But when you think about how many times this state has gone and voted statewide since 2020, we have spring elections, we have primary elections, we have special elections, we have midterm elections, we have more spring elections, we have more fall elections. We know how to do this.
Yeah.
The clerks and the people who administer our elections know how to do this. They do a remarkable job, aided by community members, you know, largely older folks who we see at church and at the grocery store. Our elections are free, they are fair, they are safe, and they are secure. And what we are seeing in the last 50 days of an election is a concerted effort by people who don't have ideas they think they can win on to undermine your confidence that your vote's going to count, to undermine your confidence that somebody else's vote counts the same as yours. And there's just no place for it, because all it is about is laying a foundation and setting a predicate for a Stop the Steal 2.0. Yeah. And I don't like to impugn people's motives, but that's what this is. When you see week after week, somebody somewhere in the state of Wisconsin doing this nonsense, bringing up old stuff about elections held in April that were also counted accurately, winners were declared, losers conceded. There is just something about Donald Trump being on the ballot, being in the fight of his life to remain relevant despite the small, incredible shrinking man that he is when you'd see him on a stage next to Kamala Harris. This is apparently the only move they have left. They're not talking about a healthcare plan to reduce your costs. They're not talking about a sensical plan to lower your cost of living anywhere else. They're talking about huge tariffs that working and middle-class families are going to pay the price of, $4,000 a year. He's talking about doing more for big business by cutting their taxes even lower. And he's not talking about you. And I hope people understand that this is a strategy. It is clearly something we're going to see more of in the next 40 days, whatever we have left here. But it's almost to the point where the outrage is beside the point. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows they got to vote. Most people know how they're going to vote. And you can have confidence that that vote is going to count. And surely there will be lawsuits, you know, but at the end of the day, the system will hold. It has done it before. It will do it again.
And again, we can do anything for 40 days. 40 days. This is Lent. We're just doing that's our right. penance as Americans here to get through all the stuff that's going to be thrown at us for the next 40 days. And if I can put it in one more note about it, people going, you guys are overreacting, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the thing. Mike Pence is not there. Mike Johnson is. And Mike Johnson is more than willing to do what Mike Pence wasn't willing to do, which is whatever Donald Trump orders him to do to throw a monkey wrench into a free and fair election.
Yeah. And the system has been reinforced. The Electoral College Reform Act was passed during President Biden's first term, his term. And that will make it harder for Republicans to play hijinks. And frankly, the job of the American people is, if you want this nonsense to end, which I think most Americans do, the reality is you got to win it by more than a field goal. Because if it's a field goal win or less, then the hijinks are going to continue. You beat this guy by a touchdown or two scores, then he goes away. Then hopefully the Republican Party can look in the mirror, find itself, find a new way forward, and get back to being an actual conservative party instead of whatever this MAGA nonsense is.
Whatever this is what Donald Trump is bringing to Prairie du Chien day after tomorrow. And it's just so obvious, and it's so ugly. And I think the thing that compounds the stink is the way that this week, after God only knows how many stories refuting and breaking down the misinformation, these guys, Trump and Vance, keep saying the same false stuff because, well, I don't know what else to call it, Joe. It's propaganda at this point when you are knowingly saying a false thing over and over again to get people worked up.
Yeah, but that's the only move they have, is they can't win any votes in the middle. They can't persuade people who don't look kindly upon his presidency, which is most Americans. What they are hoping for is that they get everybody who they've already got so riled up, so fired up that they 100% of them vote, and that a couple of percent of everybody else stays home. Maybe makes the same mistake you made in 2016 where you went, Hillary's got it. I don't love her, so why should I go out and vote? The reason to go out and vote is because Donald Trump is wrong for you, wrong for your family, wrong for the American economy, has no business holding a position of public trust, would damage America on the world stage, would make the world less safe. All of those reasons are why, even if you're a little impressed by Kamala Harris, but you're not fully devoted to her, that you still got to go out and vote for her. Mm-hmm. We should not be a country where we idolize and worship politicians. They are human beings just like you and I. They are fallible. None of them are perfect. None of them agree with us 100% of the time, or they with us. That's okay. What you need are people of good character, of high character, and Kamala Harris has demonstrated that she is, and that she can do the job and keep America safe and defend America's interests. If you want that to happen, that's the choice. There's a lot, there's still some folks out there who are like, listen, I'm not voting for Donald Trump again, but I don't know if I can get all the way to Kamala. You know what? If Dick Cheney can get there, I think you could probably find your way.
Yes.
We are in the final 40 days of an election where Dick Cheney and Bernie Sanders are supporting the same person for president in Kamala Harris. Just let that sink in, folks. Join the party, get on board, and let's beat him by a couple scores so we can be done with this chapter of American politics.
That and all the other people who have worked for Trump who have endorsed Kamala Harris, it should tell you something. You talk about keeping America safe, and that brings us to Senate candidate Eric Hovde, who in an opinion piece to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel said this week, that he knows how to fix the problem of gun violence. He says you have to address the root causes, which I thought, well, yeah, the guns and the high round, you know, magazines and everything else. No. It turns out it's mental health. And Joe, I bring this up to you just to tee it up that you were the first one that I know said it early in his campaign. The man is vanilla. He has brought nothing original to this race. He had a chance to, again, maybe show some independence when the Journal Sentinel asked him and Senator Tammy Baldwin to, you know, send in essays on this. And for him, it was, again, the mental health thing, which is, it's real, but there's been no, it only comes up as a talking point.
I think we've talked about this before, so I apologize to the listeners who have heard this particular rant before. But you know what? People are mentally ill in Canada. And there are video games rotting the minds of teen boys in Japan. And there are under and unemployed young men in Germany. All of those are problems we have here. You know what the difference is? Here, the most likely cause of death for a young person is a gun death. Is being shot to death. Probably at school, maybe at the movies, or at the mall, or at a ball game. It's the guns. It's the access to the guns. Because all of those other countries, including Canada, where they got a ton of guns, huge gun culture, they have policies in place to make sure that people who should not have firearms do not. And so this notion that we'll just wave a magic wand and that we'll fix mental health and then this will all be okay is preposterous. Eric Hufte is not a stupid man. He knows better. But to your point, this is a guy who has all of the resources in the world to be freed from the party line and be a different kind of Republican, to actually bring a voice of reason and sanity to the Republican Party, and he won't do it. He hasn't done it once his whole campaign. I can't think of a single issue on which he has strayed from MAGA Republican orthodoxy. Instead, what has surprised me is he's gone the other way. He's invented some new MAGA orthodoxy. Old people, nursing homes,
farmers,
probably shouldn't even vote. They're about to die. I mean, it's just, it is the most disappointing Senate campaign I have seen from either party. And this includes Leah Vukmir was a bad candidate, but at least she was who she was. This is just, it's incredible how bad he is.
There is just no, like I said, actual identity to this guy. And here's the thing. Again, let's be fair to his point about mental health. Then all he would have needed is a line in that essay of his op-ed, saying, my first bill will be, half $1 billion to go to the states to help with, preventing youth suicide. But it wasn't. Here's the whole gist of his plan is this. I believe we should improve access to mental health care for those at risk and their families to prevent tragedies and create an environment of hope. And that's it. No dollar amount. Doesn't say who should do it. Quick reminder. Governor Evers asked Republicans in the legislature to boost mental health big time, and they threw crumbs, at the problem. So,
and Ron Johnson voted against bipartisan gun reform legislation that made more funds available to states to establish things like red flag laws. So if somebody's going through a difficult time, the people who care about them and love them can safely remove deadly weapons, and then there's a process to have them returned once they're doing better. But Republicans like Ron Johnson, who Eric Hufte wants to be Ron Johnson's sidekick, voted no. At least in 41 days, he can go back to Laguna Beach and work on his tan, and he won't have to worry about ever showing his face in Wisconsin again.
And he'll say, all those people that said you should run, I did, but I'd hardly say he put in his best effort there. Just a couple of seconds here. Packers-Vikings this weekend. What do you think?
Oh, I'm nervous. Malik has played his butt off, and God love him for it, and hat off to Coach LaFleur and everybody else who got him ready to go. But I don't know. Nervous. The Vikings are good. The Vikings are a good football team. And
yeah, this is their year. Oh wait, we say
I didn't say that. But they're better than they've been. And I hope Aaron Jones gets a nice round of applause. Forever in our hearts, shall we?
There you go. Joe Speck, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too.
More after this. You're up.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I am sharing some good news about prices and inflation. Inflation is back to normal. Yes, you heard that right. All the price craziness that we've had to deal with because of the pandemic and supply chain issues, tariffs, companies gouging our prices, it's coming back down. This summer, inflation dropped to its normal level, under 3%, which is a great sign for our economy. Now, I'm old enough to remember going to the White Hen with two quarters and walking out with a pop. So prices are still higher than that, but we're really getting back into some normal after all that COVID cost chaos. I love me some normal. And that was today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube, or you can text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Packed right, load. Words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Pretty woman walking down the street. Again, you don't need more than the first few drum beats to figure out that is Roy Orbison. Woman hitting number one this day 60 years ago. 1964 was a number one song for 3 weeks. I will say, I mean, it's the guitar chords that give it away. When you first hear just the drum, you're like, okay, it could be this song, could be that song, but then there's no mistaking Roy.
Oh, what, just, oh. From a very young age, my father taught me to appreciate this man.
Mm-hmm.
Love this guy.
On this day in 1905, Albert Einstein publishes his theory of relativity. Show off.
Right.
On this day in 1960 was the first televised presidential debate between Vice President Richard Nixon and Senator John F. Kennedy at a TV studio in Chicago. There were no zingers. There were no wild cheers of applause in the studio. They just had a debate. It's so quaint.
I don't know if this is anachronistic or, you know, whatever the term is, but they said that for those who watched it, they felt Kennedy won. For those who listened, they felt Nixon won.
Yeah, I think they still teach it when you're doing like intro to, you know, broadcasting classes and things about just all the little things. And that was one of them, that if you saw Richard Nixon, you saw some guy that looked sweaty, nervous, unsure of himself. Mm-hmm. But if you're just listening to the voice, it's like he stated what his positions were, and yeah, people liked what they heard there. So it just reminds you in everything that we do. And it's why things are so produced these days, because the words that you choose matter, the tone of voice matters, the music, but also what things look like. You can cover up a lot of bad speaking with a lot of, you know, glitz.
Yeah.
I've watched more than a few newscasts in my day where the product, you know, the actual news product, not very good.
Yeah.
But, you know, you dress it up with enough graphics and things and people go, I really like watching that channel. Marty Robbins was born this day in 1925.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl.
This, of course, is signature song that was released in 1959.
and won the Grammy for Best Country and Western Recording. He passed away in 1982. The final recorded album by the Beatles, Abbey Road, was released on this day in 1969.
That's another intro. I mean,
yep.
When
yep.
you hear it, like your body can just be like,
oh. Oh. Hi, George.
We miss you, George.
Yeah. So we'll play a couple more cuts from Abbey Road throughout the course of the morning here. Johnny Appleseed was born this day in 1774. And we all learned about Johnny Appleseed. But now as I get older and start to question more things that we were taught in history, like, you know, we weren't really taught the whole story, and some things were they were almost more like urban legends. Mm-hmm. And not that I'm looking to stir up trouble here, but I'm like, well, you know, Johnny Appleseed, he's this do-gooder guy who walks around and says, here, plant these apple trees and you can eat the fruit and all of that. And I'm just like, was that the whole story on Johnny Appleseed? Did people look at him like, oh, crazy apple guy is coming by here again? I don't want to grow a tree. Okay, Johnny, move along.
I see you planted an apple tree. Where's my taste?
Right?
Johnny doesn't do things for free.
Oh, boy. More birthdays today. The late Lynn Anderson, who said, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden, born this day in 1947. And the late Olivia Newton-John was born this day in 1948. Of course, Olivia Newton-John passed away 2 years ago from cancer. Country singer Carlene Carter is 69 today. Tennis legend Serena Williams is 43 years old today. Whitney Houston scored the fifth of seven consecutive number one hits, with this song peaking on this day in 1987. On this day in 2012, Pink lands her first number one album, The Truth About Love. It was her sixth studio album and featured the hits Blow Me One Last Kiss and Just Give Me a Reason. On the national day calendar today, this is National Alpaca Day. I question this. Why would you give a day to an animal that's going to spit at you if it doesn't like you?
Many animals that will spit at you.
Some will eat you, too, I suppose. What? But today is a day to recognize, consider the alpaca. Be aware.
I was going
to say. Alpaca Awareness Day.
Oh, I'm aware of them. Oh, they eat my apple trees.
Today is Better Breakfast Day. And I think that's supposed to mean a healthier breakfast when they say better breakfast.
Yeah.
To me, it just means, you know, hey, couple more slices of bacon, please. You know? That, to me, that's the better breakfast. This is HR Professionals Day. So I'd like to have you fill out these forms in triplicate, please, and have them back to me. And then you're going to get a lecture on what you can and can't say at work. Today is National Love Note Day. It's National Lumberjack Day, and that's okay. It nice. Is National, thank you, National Chimichanga Day, National Dumpling Day. It's National Key Lime Pie Day. It's National Pancake Day. And it's World Maritime Day. So it's funny how sometimes the calendar, it's booked up, and some days it's a little quieter, but all kinds of things today. One final birthday to pass along, composer George Gershwin was born this day in 1898. Of course, everybody knows Rhapsody in Blue, so I'll end the segment on that note and tell you that we have our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, coming up.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's Thursday, so we give our popcorn pick of the week, and Emerson Lehman of the WBAY Morning Show drops by to talk about his Emmy nominations. Join me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.